fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Morena, Amelia Discreet, how are you today?
I'm alive.
That is very good. Good.
That's all we can ask
good
for.
Place to start. Good place to start indeed. I'm getting some diegetic sound of microphone scraping there, but we're back now. Hello.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I dropped my laptop.
Oh, cool. We are talking about something dear to, I'm pretty sure, all of our hearts, because we're all big nerds here, and I'm sure a lot of listeners as well. What is that, Amelia?
Well, I am joining you by Ansible this morning. We're going to climb out of our chinks in the world machine to explore the world of sci-fi words.
Sci-fi words.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, this one goes out to all the nerds, including us.
And so, I mean, more specifically, words that first appear in sci-fi that are in common use.
Okay,
now.
That's interesting.
Zoe's literally just done an essay for uni.
Yeah.
On science fiction.
I'm taking a science fiction media paper.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it is. It's nice. I completely forgot I was enrolled because I'm just doing one paper, and then I had an email saying you've got an essay and overdue fees. I was like, oh, God.
Better sort that out.
But I submitted it last night, so this is right on brand for me right now.
Perfect. So what are we working with here, Amelia? What are we talking about in the world of words, science fiction-wise?
Well, let's start with a pretty old one. Robot. Do you know where the word robot comes from?
I actually don't. Do you know, Zoe?
I think I do. Is it an old play in the 20s?
It is an old play in the 20s.
Hey, so, hey! Points to you.
So, robot comes to us from Czech, which is very, very interesting.
True.
So, old mate, Carol... it's a C, you know, with the little V on top.
Oh, yes.
Capek. In 1920, he wrote a play called Rossum's Universal Robots.
Ooh. Cool.
And it is about these kind of, like, artificially produced workers, and, you know, it's like a metaphor and stuff. But it's from so in Czech, robota means compulsory labor. Robotnik, like in Sonic the Hedgehog, means worker.
Okay, this is making sense. So that's how we kind of get these automated people or characters.
Yeah, and so like from robota, we get robot. So his like compulsory labor people.
Got you.
Right.
So they're essentially like artificially, yeah. And then so fast forward to the 1940s. Isaac Asimov coins the term robotics.
Who is Isaac Asimov again? That's a name I recognise but could not place.
He's an extremely prolific science fiction author, and he's kind of best known today for his like three laws of robotics that they always talk about in sci-fi.
And what are the three laws of robotics?
Oh my God, Rachel. It's like, don't harm any people, don't... It's like, you know...
Don't harm anyone, like...
Go read iRobot, like...
Just testing how deep the nerdery goes today.
I never cared for Isaac Asimov. I don't find his stories very interesting.
never cared for the man.
But we've got more to talk about.
Okay, hit us, because I could talk about robot. I just had no idea it came out of fiction. You know, I had imagined it was like a scientific word before it did any sort of, you know, world-building stuff.
That's the power science fiction has on society, as you can read about in my latest essay.
I mean, you know, there's a reason that they call it speculative fiction, and a lot of these people are extremely invested in science. So like,
yeah.
Isaac Asimov also writes like nonfiction books and is very keyed into developments that are happening in science.
Got you. So
and likewise, scientists are losers. They're nerds. They read sci-fi.
This is true though. Hey, that word is actually great. Let's use that one. Tell us a little bit about some more words, Amelia. What else have we got?
All right. So clone.
Clone.
Yeah. So originally, 1903, botanists, they're doing botany as they do.
As they do.
And with plants, you can reproduce plants in a lot of different ways, and you can make genetically identical plants.
Yes.
And so this is where the word clone is first used. And so it comes from Greek klon, which means twig.
Okay. Yep.
So basically, clone is a very specialized word for a very long time, where you're just talking about essentially like cuttings, basically.
Right. Got you. Okay, I'm following.
Then, in 1970, Alvin Toffler comes along.
Ooh. Alvin, what a name.
They've all got such good names, don't they?
They do have very good names. With future... I hope no one texted about me not liking Isaac Asimov. I'm sorry.
You're allowed to not like them.
Future Shock comes out, this Alvin Toffler book, and it's about cloned people. So obviously he is kind of like extrapolating from this thing that we already kind of know about.
In the world of botany.
Yes, but it like popularizes this kind of much broader use of the idea of a clone and kind of kicks off clone as like a more general word for like a duplicated person.
What was the sheep that got cloned? Thing. Who was that sheep? Was
Dolly.
Dolly, that's right.
In 1996.
Dolly the sheep.
Me and Dolly, born in the same year.
Aww.
So both computer virus and computer worm are also originally from sci-fi. Computer virus goes, computer virus goes way back to 1972. And the guy who came up with that was Dave Gerald.
Oh, he's got a less exciting name.
That is no Alvin Toffle or whatever
it was. I was going to say true nerds would recognize Dave Gerald as a writer for Star Trek who wrote The Trouble with Tribbles. But computer virus comes up in this story from 1972 when Harley was one. And also computer worm, which we don't use so much anymore, but was it was big in the old
Harley was one.
When Harley was one is the name of the story.
Harley was one what? What was Harley? I'm not obviously nerd enough for that.
You'll have to read to find out.
Okay.
You're going to go home with some required readings after this.
My reading list is growing, yeah.
So John Brunner comes up with Computer Worm in 1975.
That one's not so common in usage anymore, is it?
It really used to be. In the 2000s, it would be like, oh, do you have a virus? No, I've got a worm.
You need a different ointment for that one.
Gas giant.
A gas giant. What is it? What is a gas giant?
It's how you refer to planets like Jupiter that are huge, but largely gas. and the first known usage of this is in science fiction. It's in Solar Plexus by James Blish.
Cool names.
Blish. Yeah. And as far as we can tell, that's the earliest one.
It's such a fascinating thing. I mean, I know that often literature, like, you know, fiction literature does have an effect on the way we speak all the time. We see it happen. But it is really fascinating with words that have such common usage and such scientific usage as well to come out of the world of, like, make-believe. Hello, have you fallen over there?
But, I mean, it makes sense, though, right? Because, like, you need, like, there are so many possible names for a thing.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this because when researching this, a lot of people were like, well, H.G. Wells coined the term time machine. And it's like, yeah, okay, but time machine isn't a real thing. So it's basically just like that he made it up.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, time machine is like, that is the accepted term for that thing.
Yes.
And he also talks about time travelers and time traveling, and that is what we call that now. But that didn't necessarily have to be the case. It could have been like a tempest device.
I like that.
You know, like a past mobile or something. Like, there's no reason.
All aboard the past mobile, kids.
And it's like the same thing, whereas like if we did invent time travel in some future, then we'd probably just call it that. And everyone would be like, oh, we call that that because of that
like
book.
Every few years.
Yeah, we're going to call it the time machine. And like if H.G. Wells had called it, you know, Speedy Clock Gadget, we'd be calling it that.
The Speedy Clock Gadget. Every few years, I feel like the New Yorker or the Guardian or something writes an article where they're like, this person's almost clocked, you know, time travel or something, or here's a new way a time machine could be something in our future. So, you know, it is, as you say, the standard language that we use for something that might not necessarily exist yet, but the concept of it certainly does. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I kind of want to end with a plug.
Okay,
for something that I have come across. SFDictionary.com has it's basically like a dictionary of sci-fi terms, and it gives you like a history of usage.
Cool, that's very cool.
That's awesome.
So that you can look up whatever word that you want, and it will tell you, vacuum suit. The first person to use vacuum suit was G.P. Wurtenbaker in The Man from the Atom.
That is a cool resource.
It's extremely cool. And it was not very useful for the stuff that we were talking about, but it was extremely exciting for me to find.
So what was it?
SFDictionary.com.
Fantastic.
And you can be like, wow. Xenoanthropology was first used in 1966.
We will add that to the podcast, so if anyone wants to go
now.
Find that dictionary later, then they're welcome to. You have also picked us a song today, Amelia. What was the track?
I play this song too much on 95PFM. It is Summer Holiday 1999 by Momus, and it is a song that recounts the plot, essentially, to a Japanese sci-fi film called Summer Vacation 1999.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Amelia. We'll see you soon.
My pleasure.
Trees in the playground, around the empty school, a diary full of diagrams, a boy, perhaps a girl, embarrassing confessions of a strange forbidden love, on the cliffs above the river, he asks himself forever, forever, forever. Is there any reason not to die?
Well, now I just want to go and listen to Momus all day. That was an excellent choice from Amelia. Summer Holiday 1999, Voyager. Thank you very much for bringing us a bunch of weird and wonderful science fiction words.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.